Oh, mama. Put that thing on easy mode. Go with standard dish. Story mode is my big fetish. Go with standard dish. My avatar's all coquettish.
Welcome back to Standard Edish, the video game book club podcast where standard people play the standard edition of a video game. I'm Billy.
Oh, you too early, Billy. I'm Jackie.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Kaylee.
And we're playing Baldur's Gate 3. I want to try to be faster off the gate with all of it, but then I can't remember what the fucking video game is. and just a few, real quick before we jump into that, we might talk about some of the cool games that have been popping out that probably none of us have even touched, but we at least have time to read about games and form opinions, even if we don't play them. So we might do that for a minute. Before we do that, everybody welcome Tom, who just joined a little standard club over on Patreon.
Yay, Tom.
Oh,
yay.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
welcome,
Tom.
Welcome.
Welcome to the club. If anyone else wants to support us, you can go to Patreon. You can buy us rounds on our website. You can write in thoughts and theories and tips to standardedish@gmail.com or X. It's a great way to get Alan to maybe read it. He has a kid now, so maybe not.
If you write it, I will read it.
Kaylee's on Truth Social, so you can get her there.
Oh, God, no.
And Jackie.
Get my name out your mouth.
Jackie's on Instagram, so you can get her there. Which will we get first, a truth or a tick? I don't know. Probably neither. Okay, so let's jump into some games, which are way more exciting. Some I had my eyes on that just came out and got reviews this week. Super mixed reviews, which is interesting.
Rise
of the Ronin? Is that correct? Is that the title for
Sekiro
2 7 years later or whatever?
Is what I cover it as,
but
it did look cool.
It was like Ghost of Tsushima.
I don't know. Kinda. I don't have time to play this shit, Kaylee. I'm playing
You said it had mixed reviews.
No, it had. Well, but it does. It does. Not from me. What's interesting about both, I think that it was highly anticipated, but it is just interesting that it's got super mixed reviews. It's not an overwhelming everyone loves it or hate it, which I actually usually find mixed reviewed products, whatever they be, to usually be more interesting. I feel like there's almost if it's a little divisive, there's almost a better chance that if it's for you, you're going to fucking love it.
True.
As opposed to being for a mass audience and it's like, it's shaved all the rough edges off and like, yeah, it might be for you, but maybe not, you know?
What are the negative parts about it?
I think it's largely about, these aren't my words, but like open world bloat. Some open world, like, you know, when you open the map and it's just like tons of little markers and objectives you don't even care about, and like side quests that maybe kind of blow and stuff like that. That's the sense that I got from a few reviews I skimmed, is the open world design stuff is a little bloated, a little dated, and probably if they trimmed some of that clutter, they would have gotten like great scores all around, because it sounds like the movement and the combat and all of that is really great and people love
That's good.
And then they get bogged down in like collecting armor sets they don't care about and just different like clutter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if anyone has gotten hands on it, write us in and let us know where you stand on the mix.
What's your honest review?
Yeah. Give us an honest review. Three sentences. That's your, don't go beyond it.
Give us a haiku.
What's the name of the one I really want to play? This one feels like up our alley. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Dragon's Dogma 2?
Yeah.
I've been hearing some stuff about that. Or I've seen some clips, too, that looked...
It looks fun.
It looked interesting and something up our alley, like you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of... It just feels like it's got some jank, which can be really fun. It feels like it's got a lot of...
What does that mean? It's got some jank.
Like it's glitchy?
Okay, sorry. It looks like it's got some Skyrim open world amazement plus jank that comes with that.
Plus jank.
Then the
Okay.
It's got so many interesting dynamic systems that sometimes they accidentally all hook up and like do something you didn't intend, or the camera can't handle it, or the frame rate drops, or the NPC doesn't speak when they were supposed to, or whatever, right? Just that kind of jank of like.
Okay.
Almost Bethesda level, I think.
Yeah. Oh, Bethesda. Yeah. All you had to say was Bethesda.
Yeah.
Bethesda level. No. Okay. That's fair. All right. Just wasn't sure what Gen Z term you were using on us.
Oh, no, that's a dusty old gray term right there. The only ones I know.
Yeah, that's part of the old handbook.
Yeah. You guys are the ones who teach me new terms.
I was just going to compliment you if you were going to teach us a new term.
No, and see, I did, I guess, from the past.
New to us, I guess,
Let me open up my time capsule and tell you guys about this word.
From your wisdom.
They sent it to us from the past. I want to play this game. It sounds awesome.
Mm. Yeah. But,
yeah.
It looked really cool. Like, it looked like there was, I mean, I don't know about these sequels, like Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I don't know any of the previous installments, and I don't know about the previous one for this one too, but it looked cool. Like, it had a very much, medieval sort of Dungeons and Dragons kind of theme, and like different classes look like you could play. It almost felt like it was like an Elden Ring party that you can join and fight a bunch of different mythological creatures and stuff. Mm-hmm. Look fun.
Totally.
Something that isn't new, but that I watched Jimbo play through over the past like couple weeks since we've recorded is Outer Wilds.
Yeah.
I finished it. I haven't played it yet.
My favorite. Oh my God. This is like one of my favorite games of the past ever. And Jackie, I hope you had the same impression of it. I'm curious to hear your review of it, but like, it just had all of the pieces for me. It was like, it's adorable. The animation is the art style is, kind of is very indie-ish.
Totally.
And then it just really is a slow build on like this deeper and deeper and more complex and complex plot line that's happening and that you have to like manage, and then slowly have to manage like solving complex puzzles under ridiculously short time windows. And you're like, wow. And then when you finally make it, you're like, it has all the things. Sorry, but what is your opinion?
I agree. Like it was really fun. So like, the art style and the animations were like fun and cute. And then like the story was fun because it's open world. There's no order, but there are things that are hidden more deeply, so you won't get to them as quickly. But you're getting bits and pieces of like, okay, there was this like ancient civilization, which I kept thinking was Zoni. And, you're picking up little things, and they're pretty easy to string together. Unlike Elden Ring.
I'll just bury it in item description.
But then like, the physics of the world was really cool too. I didn't use the controls at all, but I watched the learning curve happen. and you operate on like a 22 minute time loop or something. So there's this one plant, it's called the Hourglass Twins, and it's two planets that like over the 22 minutes sand transfers from one to the other. Mm.
That's cool.
So it uncovers stuff on one planet and buries stuff on the other planet. So you have to like get places before the sand goes where you don't want it to go.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a really cool mechanic that I've never seen before.
Yeah, it's cool.
It sounds so Nintendo. It's like Nintendo genius level game design.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Uh-huh. Yeah, I could see that. It's like a world changing event, but like consistently and helps you or wants to invite exploring. It's really cool.
Well, and the setting of this game is that you are a species that has just kind of figured out how to do interplanetary travel, and you're in this very small solar system with several interesting planets on them. And as you explore, you find bits and pieces that are remnants of this, as Jackie said, older civilization and that have clearly been left here. But the twist of it is that every 22 minutes, the sun explodes and kills everything. And you start back over on your home planet. For some reason, you keep surviving and remembering, but nobody else remembers.
Yeah.
So like time gets rewound every time the sun explodes.
Wow.
And so you have to slowly piece together what's going on before 22 minutes time's up. And there's like different planets you have to visit, different things you have to go and do and sort of figure out like the next piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah, I want to play that. So that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Remind me, have you guys played Majora's Mask?
No.
Yeah, that is the gameplay concept.
Oh, really?
So it is Zelda, but the world ends every 30 minutes, and we're the only one for some reason who can do the thing and all the stuff you guys are saying. Of course, Zelda did it first. You guys got to go back and play that. It's going to blow your mind. It's so good.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah. Is this a new game? Or I feel like I've heard of this game before.
It's not very new.
It's pretty not very new.
Okay. I don't know when it came out.
Maybe I have
But it's in the modern era. It's like
right.
I feel like I've heard the name, but recently. Like
Oh, okay.
I played it during the pandemic. Mm. So I think, but what is new about it? I think a DLC just dropped.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I saw in the credits. Okay. It was like Echoes of the Eye.
Like,
yeah. So that's the new. That's the new piece.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Wait, quick question for you guys before we move to the game we're actually playing. Kayla, you made me think of this because I was thinking about this the other day. What was everyone's pandemic game? And by that I mean, I know we all probably played a couple, but what was the one that really, when you think about was yours at the fucking height and you just sank into that world? It sounds like this was probably yours, Kaylee, but I'm curious what everyone else is like. No, this wasn't even it. Okay, what was it?
Animal Crossing.
I was gonna say
Animal Crossing for sure. Animal
Crossing. That was Kara's too.
At two. Okay, Kara's.
No, not me. I was couch co-oping that game. I got it to a level, to a certain degree. I got the appeal just by watching Kara like just build her thing and make her town and get the guy to come and make a concert or something.
So what was yours?
I don't know if I remember really. It was kind of a weird time because we were between consoles, you know, Billy? Like, I mean, for PlayStation users. And that was in itself a game, just trying to get one.
That's true.
It was me trying to get a PS5 one. I feel like I played maybe Control. I think I played Control. Which was, I might have been late to it too, but I played the crap out of that game.
That was a good
you
one.
You were. I remember us telling you to play it for like 3 years, and then you finally played it.
Yeah. I just like.
And you were like, whoa, guys, this game's pretty good. We were like, yeah, we fucking told you to play it.
It's like, can I catch up the 3 years of discourse about this game again? I think it was probably that game. But also, just trying to get my hands on a PS5.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun
whatever
moment.
Way possible.
What was yours, Billy?
Fun times.
Mine was a game I had at the time never heard of. And I was like looking for an escapism game. And Rob told me about Subnautica. And I was like,
yes.
It is so fucking good. And I just every day I was, lucky enough to not lose my job before or during COVID, which at the time seemed like a blessing. Now in retrospect, I'm like, that fucking sucked. But anyway, so I was working too much, but I would wake up before with nothing to do. It's like I would wake because this was at the moment of not leaving your house really and stuff. Yeah. Right. I would wake up before with coffee before my first call and have like a first call was at 9. I'd wake up at 6 and just delve the depths and like do, be working on stuff. Yeah. And then I would like work. And then immediately after, just switch back to like working on my submarine, go and explore in the local fauna and stuff. Man, that game, it was one of those that we all love where it's like it lets you discover it all for yourself and it doesn't hold your hand.
Outer Wilds was a lot like Subnautica. Jimbo was playing that too during the pandemic. And we even said, we're like this in like some of the worlds where you're like in 0G, just kind of floating through like a mildly creepy environment, we're like, this is Subnautica.
Nice. You're right. Yeah. There were those moments of just like underwater, hanging
Yeah.
Look up and something giant is going above you. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know it was there. And like, yeah, there's these really cool, like, just dynamic moments that aren't scripted in those kind of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I remember that. I remember the Subnautica game coming out or seeing reviews on it or video about it. And it looked really interesting. On the surface, it seemed like it was just sort of like a survivalist kind of game. But there seems to be more to it.
So much
that was
more.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like a deeper plot or something. So that was intriguing, but on the surface it wasn't kind of appealing to me too. I was like, oh, that's like seems like, you know, just kind of out in the middle of the ocean and surviving and making stuff, building a fort, whatever you're doing, exploring the ocean.
Yeah, that and The Forest are my two favorite survival games. Both
The Forest. Did you play that?
Oh, hell yeah.
I've never heard of it.
I didn't know you played that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked creepy as fuck.
Yeah. It was good. It's good and creepy. Like if some people don't know the gimmick yet about why it's creepy, like I don't want to say too much because it's really fun to have it happen to you. But the part that doesn't really spoil it is just that you kind of like plane crash on an island, and it is, I believe, like a totally scripted island, which is kind of cool. Like it's not like randomized like Minecraft every time. You actually can really discover the placement of how they did certain things and why, and you get to collect a map, and the map only fills out if you find things. Like it's got some of that going on.
Cool.
Okay.
And then there are inhabitants on the island, but they just have some of the most interesting AI that you'd normally find in things. So just very unpredictable, which is sort of hard to describe until you like mess around with it, but it like ruins it if you dive too deep without playing it, because part of it is like trying to figure out what's going on and how to like work within these boundaries they're giving you and stuff.
I thought of another big pandemic game that Kaylee and I both played.
What was
Valheim?
Valheim.
Oh
man.
Oh yeah. That was some tight. Those were cool times. Like getting the Viking crew together and finding like our little base spot, fighting trolls.
That's good.
It's great.
That was when I realized I needed to update my PC because you guys were trying to get me to play it, and like I was running everything on the lowest settings and it was chugging, and I was like, all right, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Yeah.
That's another one they're about to come out with some new content on. So they've been slowly filling out the biomes. So when you and I first started playing that during the pandemic, there was like meadows, the Black Forest, the swamp, and the mountains. And they released, and the plains. And then it's got like progressively harder, like to survive through. They released the Mistlands last year, year before. Can't quite remember. And now I think upcoming this year is the Ashlands. So yeah, they still say this game is like is still beta. It's not done yet, which is kind of neat. But yeah, that's a fun one. I like that one. I pick that one up every now and then.
You know what lands are cooler? The Shadowlands.
Yeah.
We need to hard pivot and get on topic here. So those are all the games we're not playing, but we have played, and they're great. Yeah, those games are real good. But right now we're playing this other game called Baldur's Gate 3.
Which is also real good.
It's also pretty good.
Are you
unexcited again? Up. Oh, okay, okay. It's still heating up.
No, it's no, I think I really am heating up in the story and getting into it. I think I just don't like the combat. I'm just, it's just not my. I just think I don't like turn-based combat.
Turn-based.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'm too dumb. I want to be driving a little dude and pushing buttons and stuff, you know? And there's just certain times. Sometimes the turn-based is going pretty good and like it's moving fast enough that my goblin brain can stay engaged. But there's plenty of times where you're fighting a horde of level one goblins that you don't care about, and you have to watch every single one of them dash closer to you.
You can,
and it's just like, oh my god. And then you finally get to go, and Karlak misses a point blank axe swing and you have to wait again for like eight rounds. And you're just like, okay,
yeah,
I get it. But like, this isn't entertaining. I just don't, I know already the outcome, which makes this boring. Can we just fast forward to it? Like,
yeah,
let's go, guys.
Does your, so I would does say your,
that is what's not working for me.
Does your combat ever glitch where like someone will make a hit and then nothing happens for like 10 seconds and then it's and then it,
all the time.
Like, wait,
where I'm like very confused sometimes, where I'm like, yes, it is a hit. Oh, thank God. I had one too where my wheel for like my main after I used them was for Karlach or something weird like that. And I was like, and I like had to back out of everything and then pull it back up and she had her wheel. And I was like, oh, thank God. I do not want to replay this.
Yeah.
So just little jank.
Mm-hmm.
Jank.
Jank.
Janky jank.
Jank. Jank. Yeah.
Jank.
Our vocab word for the day.
Did we talk about how we found the weary traveler looking for Gale last time?
Yes.
Did we kind of already talk about that old dude?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, bootleg Gandalf.
We talked about Gandalf and Mistra.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you accidentally used it and ended the game.
That's right. Oh, yes. Yeah. I definitely did that.
That was great.
Did we talk about Karlach needing Karlach's not feeling well and we found the chest mechanic? Did we get there?
I don't think we had found the mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Last Light in because...
Okay. Let's get to the last light in.
I hadn't done the beginning part. So, yeah.
Let's give me my notes and try to remember. Okay, so we found Gale's little buddy, but then we go to Last Light in.
Because
I think we talked about, really briefly, just the Shadowlands for a second and you seeing that one little troop get attacked and stuff, right? And then you can kind of go to Last Light in right after you meet the leader of it, who I forget her name.
Jahira.
Yeah.
Yeah, famous druid, right?
She's
a druid.
Yeah, Karlach is like fangirling over
Karlach's
her.
All into it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, Karlach is very fangirling. Yeah, yeah. Wants like an autograph almost. Funny.
Yeah, so Last Light Inn is like this little stronghold in the shadow area, and there's a bubble around it. You don't know why just yet, but there's like a protective bubble around it. And you got it's a little village. It's like a little, your new grove. Right? You're like, oh, I found my new Act 2 waypoint or something. You can run around and talk to people. The first thing I noticed is that Karlach's, not really Karlach's, but a mechanic who can help Karlach is there. And he tells you about a specific kind of iron you can use. Did you guys do this? Were you able to get the first, or did anybody choose to do the first like Karlach heart upgrade?
Yeah. I had already had some infernal iron.
Me too.
So I didn't need to go out, but I did then for the second upgrade, like go out and find it at the Mason's Guild. Is that where it was?
There were a couple.
There's some scattered
I think
around.
You marked like four on your map.
What?
You them.
Oh
yeah.
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 Oh yeah. 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 I think I did it in the Grove the first time I got, I don't remember where I picked up that hellfire stuff. The material. Actually, I remember now that I don't know if I said this, but I sold it by accident.
Oh, no.
I added it as a wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Added it as a wear and then I just sold everything. And I was like, all right, let me go to that guy. And I was like, oh, did I just sell it to the druid like merchant? Oh. And I went back and it was still there.
Yay.
So I was like, I got to buy this back. What the fuck?
Well, at least it's not gone forever.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It wasn't gone forever. Yeah. So that's actually worked out, but still I had
that's
to do.
Cool.
But yeah. So when I got to the mechanic at the inn, I didn't have any on hand, I guess. I had to go get it. Yeah. But I haven't done it. I actually haven't gone back to do that second part yet.
Billy, did you make a move on Karlach after she got her upgrade?
Oh, is there an opening?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not much of one. I think I had like a little opening and it was that you could see that you guys are like taking one little step closer. I didn't jot many notes about it because it's not my main focus. and I didn't get anywhere else with her. She had the biggest opening so far. So I guess maybe she's not going to warm up to you until you start this quest is probably how it works, I assume.
I don't know. I think the only, what I remember is that like she like Karlach is excited that she can touch people again, you know?
Right.
Oh, right.
And so like you can choose to either just like lay a hand on her shoulder or to like hug her. And then you can like have a conversation basically about like, do you want to do stuff or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to push that far. I don't want my girl getting wind of some of these other people.
True.
I actually had another suitor try pretty hard for me, and I'll tell you guys about that.
Oh.
Oh.
But I had to shut them down because it was the wrong person.
Wow. Well, nothing happened. You know, I went to camp and tried to talk to Karlach, and there were no more openings. So I guess that maybe is a later development.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Yeah, I kind of passed up an opportunity in the beginning with Karlach. So I wonder if it'll, I don't know if this will change anything, or maybe the opening will be back up or not. We'll see.
Well, I want to know who made a move. Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about it now? You want to just hear about my camp activities?
You can drive.
Do you want to hear about what's... Well, let's talk a little bit more about Last Laden.
Okay.
Okay.
Because who did you say this? Jezebel?
Jahira.
Runs this place.
Jahira.
And she wants you to go talk to Isabel. That's, you know, come on.
Oh, Isabel. Mm-hmm.
Isabel,
yeah.
Guys.
Right.
Is the one, yes, casting the spells here, mm-hmm, keeping us afloat. So Jahira wants you to go talk to her. And I'm really curious what happens here with you, Kaylee, because one of the ways, mm-hmm, I got into camp without a big stink, because Jahira's like really making you do a lot of conversation checks and doesn't trust, mm-hmm, you and all this stuff.
Mm.
But the kid, mm-hmm, who you saved from the snake basically bails you out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And shows up. So,
yeah.
Is this town here for you at all, Kaylee? Like, did you backtrack and get here, or is it just gone?
This town is here for me. And so Jackie was right. Is that, and I can tell the story of my little, my entrance into the Shadowlands and kind of what happens to you if you go this Minthara kill the Grove route is definitely very different and interesting. But I, you know, essentially do get dropped at Moonrise Towers. Some stuff happens between the entrance and there. Some stuff happens there. And then you can try to find your way back after you have to. It's a little bit tricky because you have to find your own way through the Shadowlands, essentially. So, like, that's one of the perks that Isabel gets you, is that you can get to Last Light Inn from where you guys started with just torches.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but Moonrise Towers is in some, mm-hmm, deeper darkness.
Right.
And so you have to have something more than just a torch to, right, like, explore out of it. So once I found that out and then did some other stuff, I did make my way back to Last Light Inn. But yeah, talking myself in, this is one of those things I quick saved right before I went in, because I also wasn't sure like how I was going to, because all the tieflings, yeah, are dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went in there and you do have to do some smooth talking, which was helpful because my character's a bard and have high persuasion stats. But then this guy comes up out of nowhere. This guy, Flaming Fist Marcus,
mm-hmm,
comes up out of nowhere and is like, I can vouch for her. I can vouch for them. And he's like, does a little telepathy thing to you. He's like, fellow true soul, like, I, you know, just play along. And you're like, oh, you're a true soul. You're a double agent too. Cool. And like, and so like, he's like clearly in disguise as well. And he basically lies to Jahira for you and says that you helped him deal with some cultists like somewhere else in the Shadowlands. So you're cool. And Jahira essentially takes his word for it.
Interesting.
And yeah. And then like, probably does all the same bit where you go talk to her and she's like, I need you to go and infiltrate Moonrise Towers, mm-hmm, and see what Kethric's weakness is, so that we can, mm-hmm, take him down, and go talk to Isabel to get a blessing to be able to move through the Shadowlands, mm-hmm, freely, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So we get all that without, mm-hmm, without the guy coming, obviously, because after you, yeah, talk to Isabel, that guy comes and tries to take her.
Yeah.
Right? Which it, yes, probably happens to you anyway, I assume.
Right before then. So he's like waiting outside her rooms for you.
Mm.
And he's like, hey, so I'm here because I've been sent by Kethric to go and kidnap this girl. You're going to help me. And we're like, and you kind of get that choice to be like, well, this could probably raise my standing within the cult and therefore lead to better opportunities to infiltrate or better opportunities to get what I want out of it. Or I could defend against him and like protect this cult, this, you know, or I don't have to. I could also like help
what'd
the
you do?
Druid. Oh, I knocked that bitch out.
Does he nice. Still
after getting the blessing?
Nice.
Does he take off without you, yeah. or yeah. do you get to go with him because of that?
He takes off. This is kind of he takes off without you.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to talk about the fight at all first, but like what follows is like the most difficult fight I've experienced yet in the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well, let's rewind back to how we got to it real quick, I guess. Which isn't drastically mm-hmm. different. I mean, it's different in a fun mm-hmm. way, but like a lot of the beats are there, right? So we go up and talk to Isabel, but from a good lens, and she's going to give us a blessing so we can navigate the Shadowlands, and we're going to try to do this thing and help and yada yada. Now, the fun part of all that for any Shadowheart simps is that you really get a lot more lore on, like, Shadowheart doesn't like her. She doesn't like Shadowheart. Mm-hmm. You kind of, for the first time, I was understanding, like, Shadowheart's religion. Because you finally had a contrast for the first time of, like, mm-hmm. oh, you right, guys are right. the darkness thing, and you guys are the light thing, and... It seems pretty clear this light cleric or whatever she is probably on the right side of history. And so for the first time, you're really getting like to see a mirror against Shadowheart and be like,
yeah, oh,
this bitch is crazy. So I thought all of that was really cool. That was the best part of all this for me. And as we dive deeper into the Shadowlands, you get more of it. So I think this was a great like mm-hmm. first tip into, hey, here's really what like Lady Shar is about. And you can talk to Shadowheart more about it after. But I think it was really smart to give like the cleric who's going to give your party like the blessing you require here to be like the mirror they hold up against Shadowheart. And then the blessing hurts Shadowheart, but she gets to be like, but Lady Shar... did this for me. And if you talk about the dialogue in a certain way, the Isabel will kind of point out the flaw in all of her thinking, right? She's like,
oh really,
well, why yeah, let me see if I noticed some of them.
I don't think
I didn't go
I
there
noticed that any of the, those options are
it's sorry, give me a second, I'm skimming, someone else can say a thing.
I really liked how when Shadowheart got the blessing, she was like, ew, it's like the stink of a dog or something. Like she was
she didn't enjoy it.
Oh, and then Isabel had some good comeback too. I forget what it was. It was just like something like, well, then it suits you.
here's the main beats, not the dialogue, but like the gist of what she starts, you can go back and forth about a little bit, is like, why does the Dark Lady only act now? She had all her people here. Why didn't she protect them? She could have built like this whole utopia here. So why does she only protect you now as you come here? And Shadowheart has like no answers for these things, right? She just goes back to what anyone deeply invested in religion would say. The easy out of like, well, I'm sure I can't understand their workings. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's convenient. Don't question them. So that was the real gist of it, was like, but others were here. They didn't. How come now? Why didn't they ever do this the first time? Stuff like that. And it's like, pretty good point.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And then there's more to discover with as we get out of here. But anyway, then Marcus shows up. I tried to stop him twice. Did anybody try to stop him first and just be I think I can stop him?
I did.
You
did stop him.
I tried to stop him.
Oh, you did too? Oh, wow. Alan?
Second try, but it was kind of tricky. It was still very tricky.
Wait,
I don't know. It felt like it felt like you almost like, I was like, am I going to be able to stop this guy? Like it just felt, it was very
hard.
It
took many tries. I had to reload a lot.
Yeah. No, it was hard.
What happens when you stop him? He does not kidnap her or?
Yeah. They all just die.
Isabel's just with you right now.
I mean, she's not in the party, but she's there at last light.
Yeah, she's still there.
Whoa.
Ellie's mind is blown.
One less person to rescue.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I did assume that they scripted it in a way where you could stop him because they, you know, but I kind of assume you would have to be doing like every quest in the game or something. Cause my few attempts, it was just like, it doesn't even seem like I'm getting close to stopping him.
I had to be really strategic about it. So placed before starting the dialogue that would trigger the combat. I had everyone like pretty far into the room, and not close to the balcony. And then when the combat started, I surrounded Marcus. So Isabel was able to get away, and didn't have to fight Marcus. And anytime Marcus tried to move, he would trigger an opportunity attack from whoever he was standing next to. So it was sometimes like multiple opportunity attacks. And so we were able to like, able to like get his HP down very quickly.
That's clever.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and it's because I didn't want to do the second fight outside with all of the harpers and the trees and the
dude.
Yeah. So I did that one.
The second fight. Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. So for the rest of us normies, essentially, Isabel gets taken. You get one round to stop Marcus.
Well, I mean, that was by design, so.
Yeah. Well, so he flies off with her, which I was like, what? Come on, I wanted more infighting. So I was bummed about that. But yeah, essentially, then he leaves a ton of people behind, plus they are turning everyone into shadow creatures.
Right.
Yeah. The whole village is dead.
Because the bubble collapses.
You're fighting them with Jaheira.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually did it my first time, but it was one of those skin of the teeth fights. Everyone's hanging on by a thread. Really, Jaheira just ends up doing the fight. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of doing things, so but she's just fighting and you're surviving.
That's interesting because Jaheira did not help me in that fight.
So that's going to make it harder for you. Yes.
You were like against
her. She's like a super high level druid doing crazy AoE attacks and taking out like half the map each hit. And then you guys are fighting like three people and just guzzling health potions.
Just trying to survive. So what was interesting is when you and you help Marcus, you have to be the one to knock out Isabel, which took me a minute to figure out how to do a non-lethal hit. That's one of the it's a thing that you can toggle on and off. I had to figure that one out. I was like, because he keeps telling you don't want to kill her.
Right.
And I'm like, I only know how to kill things.
Knockout. Yeah.
How do I not kill things? So eventually you figure out how to knock her out. And then as soon as you knock her unconscious, he flies off with her, bubble collapses. And then you get attacked by the horde. But Jaheira like ran off. But she didn't blame me. I tried to keep my party out of her line of sight during the initial attack, just so that she wouldn't suspect us. But I kind of figured that there'd be some sort of video game magic where she was like, you helped with this.
Right.
But she's completely not, I am completely free of suspicion in her mind. But she still did not help me in that final fight, which then was like, skin of my teeth. Pulling out all the stops. Trying to figure out. I was like, should have long rested before this and I hadn't. So, yeah. Great. It was very, very hard.
Yeah, they seem like both options were going to be equally hard. I don't know. The first one to fight to fight the first and win, that felt like, that felt like almost impossible in the moment. And I was like, but then like the repercussions of that and the bubble collapsing, I'm like, is this worse? is this worse than just like trying to beat this guy? It seemed like it, because then like everyone else starts turning and I'm like, oh no, this is the new Grove.
Yeah.
I'm a hero. I have to save this. That's how it ended up.
The one. Down.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty hard. But you know, I did use one thing that was pretty helpful, and it was helpful later once I figured it out. And Billy, you had tried this too at one point and it didn't do anything for you, but so Shadowheart has this, well, for me, Shadowheart has a spell that says like turn dead, and I used it, and that is super helpful. So they like anyone that's dead actually just walks away. They're like, just so if she can see them, I think, or they're in the line of sight, like they just like turn and run. So that like helped in the beginning of the fight, because then all the like harpies or those gargoyle guys just kind of ran away, and we just kind of focused on Marcus. It was still tricky though, because Isabel was getting like targeted every single time, and I kind of just had Shadowheart kind of feeding her heals to keep her like alive, because as soon as she got knocked out, it was over.
Yeah, exactly.
But even then, it was very it got down to the wire. Yeah, and there was a lot of them.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just started using that spell in the Shadowlands too for that reason. I was like, wait a minute, I think this could work. So I think the problem, I could just be wrong about this, but I think what I did wrong before is I thought I could literally reanimate dead bodies on the field, but I don't think it was that. They have to be a enemy type, which is like undead. I think that's how it actually works.
Right. And the idea of turn, like the description is very
And also they don't fight for you. They just literally turn away.
Literally just turn them around. Yeah. It's not really weird. Change someone into an undead. And it's not like change the sides of something that is undead. It's just turn them around. It's so dumb.
It literally was.
It's weird because she also has the spell fear. And that's essentially what that usually does in every fantasy game. So it is kind of confusing to have a different one that's just turn undead. And it's like, this is the fear spell. You almost wish it just said fear for undead or something. I don't know, right? Because it's like, I definitely was very confused in combat scenarios where I was like, what's happening? How do I make them fight something now? Mm-hmm. It looks like they're on my side, but they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then if you hit them, they unturn. I don't know. It's kind of a weird spell, but still useful.
Chain spell. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There is an animate dead spell, which is
that bring back like dead dwarves?
Yeah,
and
like you target a corpse and then it will fight for you.
Oh yeah, I haven't done that yet. But I would like to.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, that's what I thought this was gonna. Anyway, yeah, cool. Anyway. Try and understand those more.
I had a cool dark urge visit after this fight. So every interaction that I had with Isabel, I got like a dark urge kind of tinkling of like, imagine the destruction if this person stopped protecting this little town. Like all these people would be dead. How glorious would that be? And so then I went, when I made camp after saving her, my little butler came to visit again. And he was like, I've got another treat for you, but you got to do something really awful first. And I was like, yeah, I already killed a bunch of people today. Like, isn't that awful? And he's like, no, more awful. You have to kill Isabel. I was like, God damn it. I just purposely didn't kill her. I'm not going to do this. I don't care what kind of cool invisibility cloak you have.
Oh, right. Gets you stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I think at some point when I feel like doing that big fight of like the bubble collapsing and everyone turning into shadow people, when I have the stomach for that, I'll go do it, but it's not yet.
Yeah.
So, okay. After you leave that place, or wait, Kaylee, did you catch us up on all what happens after yours? I can't remember.
No, I haven't told you how I entered the Shadowlands.
Okay. Would you like to? Yes.
I would be happy to. Because it was creepy, and I feel like the reasons for being evil are coming. Like, in Act 1, there wasn't really any motivation for being evil. And, like, it was a little bit disheartening, you know, as someone who struggles to be evil. And so, like, now I'm finding that there's more and more reasons in this area to be evil and more ways in which you can express your evilness, which is nice. It's, it feels very
inclusive. You can make evil art. You can do evil dance.
You can make evil art. Yeah. You can. So, like, when you first. So coming out of the monastery, Minthara told me that there would be someone to meet me when I got to the Shadowlands who could then guide me through the shadows to Moonrise Towers. So when I first get there, I get kind of a very similar setup to what you guys get, which is like there's a goblin there who says pick up a torch, that go that way, the camp is that way, and there's going to be like a group there who will then the caravan to Moonrise Towers together with the guide. And it's like, okay. And so you wander through and there's like, you know, you get the little bits of Shadowheart lore of like, oh, I'm protected from this and all that jazz, blah, 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 blah. You get to this spot where there's like some dudes, like some goblins hanging around, a few orcs, it looks like. And they're just like, you know, waiting for someone. And at the very entrance to this, you get stopped by like this goblin who's like playing fetch with a warg, you know, like a big wolf dog thing.
Oh, okay.
And he's like throws a stick and he's like, go get it. And he throws it way into the deep shadows. And so then like the dog runs out and you just hear as it's like eaten by the shadows. And so then you like, you come up and he's like, oh, true soul. And he's like a little afraid of you. And you're like, you can get the option to make the goblin go get his stick.
Oh.
And so I did. Nice. I was like, you don't get to be mean to dogs on my watch. And so, like, I basically just sentenced that one to die. That's great, because he never comes back.
Oh, nice.
But then, like, you, yeah. And also Shadowheart and Asterion both approved of that, which is great. Everybody in my party is loving this. And then you, like, play. I do have, Jackie, you mentioned, like, the spider's lyre. It's like an instrument. I did have that in my inventory. You use that, and it summons, essentially... Ooh, it summons a great thing from D&D creature lore. It summons a drider, which is a drow combined with a massive spider.
I never thought about the etymology of the word drider. It's just drow spider. Yes.
It's a drow spider.
Remind me what a drow is.
Interesting.
A drow is a dark elf. In the same way that Dwergar is like a dark dwarf.
Got it.
So like they're the underground elves.
I feel like these guys were in Elden Ring too, right? Didn't we find that area with like the spider people? Ant people? They were spider ants people. In that one, maybe?
The ant people. We found like the Night Sisters. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ride the ants.
The ants.
That was dope.
It's kind of like that. But so like the drow worship a goddess called Loth. Mm-hmm. Loth.
Loth.
Who is like one of her punishments is to turn people into these things, these half drow, half giant spiders.
Okay.
And so he's like twice, you know, it's like a centaur.
Yeah.
But with a spider body.
Yep.
It's creepy as fuck. It's great. He's got like too many eyes. And he's carrying this and he's talking to nobody. Maybe the absolute, it's a little bit hard to say. And he's carrying this lantern. He's carrying one of the lanterns that we've seen, but a working one. Mm. So he caravan with this group. And this was kind of the cheesy bit about it. It's like, it's one of those follow quests where you just follow the person, but they're going too slowly, but then also too quickly. And it's like, So he's like faster than my walking speed, but slower than my running speed. And so it's just like, Mm-hmm. Just kind of constantly trying to figure out how far away to be, because he wants you to stay in the bubble of the light. Right. Otherwise, yeah. He stops. Yeah. And so,
hey,
you follow him.
What are you doing back there? Hey, wait for me.
Yeah, you're just like triggering these barks over and over again about like, yeah, I fucking get it.
Get in the light.
You get ambushed by some harpers at one point along the way, and you have the choice to either help the harpers or defend the caravan. I defended the caravan and killed the harpers, and then continued on, and they take you right to Moonrise Towers, which is cool. And it was like, oh, I'm here now. And then when you get there, I'm not sure. It sounds like you can get to this scene as well, coming from y'all's angle, if you try to then be the double agent, right? But you get the scene where you come in and they're like, go and talk to... What's her name? I wrote it down.
Zarel.
And so you walk in, they're like, go talk to Zarel and get, you know, your like new orders. And there's a bunch of like religious pilgrims are in this like lobby area. So people who've come to worship the Absolute who are not true souls. There's a bunch of other true souls. There's a bunch of goblins. It's like, okay, this is like a weird culty war camp. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like a little bit strange. And you walk in and you open like the main doors and Minthara is being questioned by Kethric and Zrel about why she didn't retrieve the artifact that you're carrying. And like she's about to get in some deep shit and she's like gonna die without your intervention. And you know, so you kind of can talk them down and like figure out, like I chose some middle ground option. They just took her to the dungeon. And there's more things that happen after that. But after that happens, there are some goblins there that you recognize from Act One. And basically they turn to you and they're like, what would you do with these goblins? And I was like, I don't know, kill. May as well. And goblins aren't very useful or anything like that. They're not very smart. And they're like, hey, for old, and, you know, and they try to like, remind you, like, for old time's sake, you know, defend us or whatever. Nah. And then one of them, like, Kethric comes up and swings at one of them. Or Kethric comes, like, stands up to them, is, like, about to kill one of them. And one of them stabs him. And, like, pulls the blade, like, out of his chest. And he says, try again. And the goblin, like, takes a big swing, like, chops his neck, like, and almost, like, beheads him.
Yeah, he gets like, nearly headless nicked.
Nearly headless Nyx, and he just pulls the axe out of his neck, puts his head back on, and stabs him, and is clearly completely unaffected by all of this. And you're like, oh shit. Okay. And so like that was an interesting thing. And then basically you get to do, you know, he goes on and Zarel tells you that you can do whatever you wish with the goblins. I commit. At first, I quick saved, and I was gonna let them live, and then Shadowheart berated me. She was like, "Your kind heart is gonna get us killed one day." So I reloaded and made them, because like you're a true soul in this area, so they had to obey whatever commands you say. So I made them not take another breath. So like they suffocated themselves.
Oh, jeez.
You overrode their nervous systems.
Apparently.
Some dark stuff. Some real dark stuff.
We have a decent chunk of the same stuff going on there. And we get the goblins thing, but I just had them spill their own guts. And that was like an equally interesting little scene.
What did you do, Alan?
So is this when we get to Moonrise Tower?
Yeah, it's in the little
You didn't go inside yet?
The goblins are there?
No, I didn't go inside yet. No. I got there. I didn't go inside.
Yeah, it's like
the first
scene when you go inside.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. As far as overlap, there is like, this is like the opposite of what, you know, maybe most of us did besides Kaylee. Mm-hmm. As far as the Harper ambush thing is like the next
thing. Yeah, because when you leave, because you guys did when you leave Last Light, you like join that Harper party. Yeah.
Right. So how did that go for you guys? Talk about that, Alan. So like our perspective of this.
Yeah, no, it was pretty, I thought it was a pretty fun fight. Although
Oh, so you guys saw the creepy dryer.
Yeah.
We did. We did. Yeah. Super. Yeah. It was a cool cutscene. I guess you would have been part of that caravan. But it was, he's basically, you know, doing the same thing, taking this people to the Moonrise Towers. But we were there to get the Moon Lantern, I think, to get passage through the Shadowlands and stuff. There's a quick cutscene of him, like, arguing with a couple of, like, the goblins or whatever, and he ends up killing one of them. And I think maybe if you hold out longer, he might kill more. I'm not sure. I think I did like maybe the first one where he kills a goblin, and then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come out and, you know, interact, and then the fight starts. But yeah, the fight overall wasn't too bad. Although he himself like kept using sanctuary. At least
that was
in my
so
fight.
Annoying.
I don't know,
I hated that.
So it literally did, like, you couldn't target him at all.
It like protects him. If he casts sanctuary, then he is immune to any damage until he deals damage.
Right. So you're kind of forced to like fight everybody else, and every turn it felt like he still had sanctuary on. I'm like, god damn it. And then like he'd be like far enough away where he like kill like a couple of harpers like once in a while, and then like put sanctuary back on. It was really annoying. Eventually, like he did, you know, it did ran out, or it like he like we caught him in a turn that it turned in our favor. I have a clip of this because I thought it was hilarious. We ended up being like surrounding him at one point, and Shadowheart was like very close to him, so she casts. I had her cast fear on him. He drops the lantern and his drops a weapon, and then he starts to run away. He was surrounded by us. So literally everyone took a turn on like the provoke attack. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say like the shadows got him because he dropped the lantern or something.
No. Yeah. So that was hilarious. It was like literally like eight of us just like, pah, pah.
That's so that cool.
Was, yeah.
Shadowheart, babe. You know,
she's working out. Working out.
Yeah. Wait, so I did this differently, right? So this is interesting. Because I ran with the save file where I did not save Isabel.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole town died. So there was no one to go on this journey with me or set me up to find the lantern.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they just, I don't know if they set it up so that it happens pretty quickly, or if I got lucky that it happened quickly. But if you journey out and be like, now what do I do? Pretty quickly, you just run into that party.
Yeah.
And you see the lantern, so you know you need it. And they might even, they might suggest something about it, or maybe you have dialogue that's like, hey, is that a lantern? Like they're like hinting along that's like, you should probably get that lantern. But you have, I don't know if you guys had these options the way that you went about it, because you had a party that was like meant to fight. But without that, there were options to deceive him like, oh, I'm the true soul that you were supposed to take over there. And he's like, oh, okay. I guess that's probably true. Why don't you come with me? And then, and I did this, I said, no, I just need your lantern. I don't need you. And you convince him that if it's really what do we call the authority?
The absolute.
If it's what the absolute wants, then you'll be protected. Just drop the lantern and walk off. So they drop the lantern and they just walk into the dark, and you hear them get attacked, and then you just pick up the lantern. Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then there is one more beat that's a nice follow-up where you will later encounter them again as their shadow form. So essentially does is it delays the fight and they all have half health.
Wow.
So then when I encountered them, it was much easier to like sweep them.
Nice.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
So did you guys not release the pixie?
I did not release the pixie, but remember I called the pixie? Ooh, yeah.
You did call the pixie.
Oh, you did. You did. Did you do this? I did this, but I looked it up because I was like, this is too important. I think I need this lantern.
I just left that bitch trapped. I'm not risking
like,
my lantern.
Just, and I, but like also like the need of like helping people. I was like, well, I'm kind of have to help her. I don't know. It's kind of very, very contrived. I was conflicted. So yeah.
What happened?
No, Jack, you tell because you were talking about the.
I also released the pixie.
Yeah.
and she gives you this little bell, and you can ring the bell anytime her, so she gives you a blessing that will protect you. And anytime that like runs out, I guess if you do a long rest or something, you can just ring it again, and then she'll pop up, and you have to like pass some kind of check, like a, she says like, what's the magic word? And you have like three dialogue options, and I failed one of them, so I reloaded.
I guess I haven't long rested since.
Oh,
I did go to see, cause it didn't immediately dawn, or it didn't immediately seem apparent that, I got the blessing once I released her. And I went back to inventory. I'm like, oh, the bell's in here. I click it, and it cuts to a cutscene where she's like, you've already been blessed. What more do you want? And, or something to that effect. Very surly. Pixie.
Oh, yeah.
I guess pixies are just very.
Try denying her. She's way more surly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She cuts into like, I'll chop your head off and gut you like a fish. It's like they watch Scream for like her dialogue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Also, probably a reason to. But yeah, I wasn't sure if releasing her, because it just seems like the pixie might have been. Might get the upper hand on us, and might have been a bad idea.
I had to find my lantern, and so that guy will never give. If you help them, you can't get the lantern from him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think I tried, and he won't just give it to you. So like, you have to find another one in Moonrise Towers in order to get back to Last Light, or do anything else. So like, as I was exploring the tower, I came across a locked room. It was called Balthazar's room. Mm-hmm. And I think I found some other lore in the tower about this character, who's clearly one of Ketherick's minions, you know, one of the more powerful ones, and he's gone on some errand for Ketherick, that you then, I think, get more information on as you go forward. But like, so I break into his room, and later they give you a key, but I break into his room. And
I was gonna say I know all this by them just like telling me to do it, but yeah
but like I was just exploring, and so like Asterion can pick any lock at this point in my party. So I you know, he opens the door, and there's a moon lantern in there. There's also like a series of weird switches, like, or like bookcases. There's something, you get notes in his room about like the bookcase being trapped. And if you can figure out which set of books to pull, it reveals a hidden room that is like the lantern creation room, where there is clearly some kind of torture chair, as well as like a weird, like a desk with like a, you know, pentagram symbol thingy on it, and a bunch of dead pixies. So, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
It's a little creepy. Oh, no. But that's how I got the moon lantern. Yeah.
Wait, but
it never gives me the option to like release.
Oh,
the pixie.
Okay. It just like has a pixie in there. Okay.
Have you tried investigating it? Because if you investigate it, you can then talk to the pixie, and then that's how it's happened for me.
I will try that again.
Oh, examine.
I think I tried to examine it, and it just said this is a working moon lantern.
Yeah, I wonder for your character.
Anything else to see here?
Like, let me try.
Yeah, maybe
the
it's
way
already...
you about it. I will say one thing about not releasing the pixie is they don't shut up. So if you keep the pixie in the lantern and you run around, they just keep barking help and stuff like
that. Oh, no.
Time. And it's kind of
weird. Right.
It's funny at first. And then you're like, okay, I'm kind of just exploring, and you're just hearing like constant, like, help, help me, sir, please.
Oh, no.
Hello, can you hear me? And you're like, oh my God. And then I have both of them out.
Shut up.
And when both of the lanterns are out and both of them are barking at you, it. Yeah.
Oh, like, no.
All right, guys. Come on. Okay. But,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So all that happened. And then I took a long rest. And do you know who had the hots for me during this long rest? I want to take predictions.
Was it Will?
Who?
Will.
Oh,
that's,
I think,
one
Will.
Prediction. What do you guys got? Also a Will?
Not Shadowheart? Shadowheart?
No. No. Come
Wait,
on.
Can I switch it to Gale?
Sorry.
It was Gale.
Gale. Hey, Gale.
It's gonna be either Will or Gale.
Sends like he has a projection of himself that is like, this is an invitation to have a night with Gale or whatever. And I was like, sure, I accept. I was like, fuck it, let's do it. I accept. So he walks me off to this little magically created area where he made a beautiful starscape and trees and all this stuff.
Aww.
And he wanted to share it with me. And oh, sorry, I'm forgetting one thing. Before you can get to this point, there's another period where when you're with Gale, he wants to teach you magic.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to do that. Have you guys done this? And so if you teach magic thing, you can like do different checks that are just like how you want to perceive the magic. That's all they really do. Oh. So it's like, do you want to see it as like, you know, you do it with nature, you do it with this, you do it with that, you want to do it with a flourish, whatever. So you guys do magic together and it's very sensual. So like magic is sensual, right? So you guys do magic together. It's very sensual. So anyway, at the end, you can tell that you've unlocked the next step where like pretty soon he's going to make a move. And after a little bit of questing, he like has a dialogue option in the middle of a quest where he's like, oh man, I really want to fuck you, but now's not a good time. He doesn't say this, but like, that's what they're telling you. They're just broadcasting it, right? He just says something asinine about like, boy, I just really, but now's not the time, right? So the next, so anyway, I just went straight to camp. I was like, I'll use 3 carrots to fuck this guy. Let's do it. So I go to camp. And anyway, so now he's got the avatar and he wants to supplies. I don't know. Whatever the supplies are. Rotten apple and a fish.
Okay, I see. Whatever camp supplies. These are camp supplies, not like.
About camp supplies. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep, nope.
Jack,
nope, I had to.
I'm not talking about those long, thick carrots, those little stubby carrots you buy at the store.
You know? Hey, they cool still guys. Work, you know.
To each their own.
They're more like, anyway, let's not go anymore into the carrot.
So you're in a beautiful meadow under the stars.
Yeah. Paint them.
Under magical the scene. Stars.
Yeah.
He wants to talk a lot and talk about magic and stuff. And then you get a dialogue choice that's like, oh, he says, I love you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. Who says that on the first date? Come on.
Yeah, for real. I was like, dude, I've been watching The Bachelor. This dude is crazy. We need love levels, guy. You got to talk about how you're falling first. Then,
yep.
No, sorry. First you think you're falling. Then you are falling. And then, you know, we got to do a couple steps to get to love. Anyway, this dude just blurts it out. Yes. So it spooked me. It spooked me to my core. And I said, I just see you as a friend.
Oh.
And I backed off. And he was like, I understand. Whatever. Oh, all of this is also connected to the whole thing about him being asked to, like, kill himself as a martyr. Mm-hmm. Because all his dialogue is about, like, oh, you know, if it's my last night, then I want to spend it with you. And then I was like, love. We're just friends. My man. So anyway, I pulled out because through all this questing, Shadowheart's been going up and up and up with me. Shadowheart is
you went home with your carrots
with right now. That's right. I kept my carrots. So my Shadowheart quest thing, like your Shadowheart companion in the moment thing, mm-hmm. is like you can see the memory of her, why she became a shard worshiper. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The wolf thing.
Yeah, she was almost attacked by a wolf and the lady saved her. I was like, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, like kind of a weak
reason
to follow religion forever. But I guess.
Like, well, she was like orphaned. She was alone in the woods.
Show that part then, right? Show the I was orphaned and was saved. Like, it's sort of funny that they skip the really traumatic thing and they're like, and so a girl's, I mean, it's like a pretty low asset request, so I guess that makes sense, but it's like, let's just have her in a generic field with a single wolf, and it's like, okay. But yeah, why was she orphaned? It feels like that's a pretty good moment to have these people show up. I don't know. Anyway, it was just kind of funny to me that I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool, this backstory scene, and then it was like, girl, field, wolf. And then they literally like block her so she can't even see them kill the wolf. It's just her face. And I was like, all right, what? This was it? This was your moment? Like, this was why you're cuckoo banana pants? It's like, I don't know. Like, whatever.
Explains a lot. Explains a lot, actually. No, yeah.
Took one wolf.
That's all it takes.
I love it. Cuckoo banana pants.
I think. So when I, in my monk playthrough, I have like a high religion check, right? when I had this dialogue with Shadowheart, I succeeded a religion check and recalled that a Cellunite like coming of age ritual is to send a child alone into the woods and have them survive the night. And she was like wearing a moonstone pendant, which is a Cellunite symbol. And so
that's interesting.
So the theory is that she belonged to like saloon worshippers and got like essentially kidnapped during that ritual by Shar people.
Yeah, I buy that. Because that's also probably, I kept waiting for a reveal that that wolf was like a druid. And it would be cool if it was their own druid. And it was just a setup to be like, oh, that wolf almost got you and we saved you. And then that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Interesting.
That would be cool too.
Has anyone else seen any other Shar worshippers in the area? Speaking of...
Yes.
No. Okay.
Maybe these guys will get there next time. I'll hold all that. Anyway, there's way more. Okay.
I've been all over the Shadowlands.
I've been decently over.
When you go into Moonrise Towers, they give you a quest like immediately, and if you start it, I didn't get anywhere with it. But on your path to it, you find a church that you can go inside and find some people doing some weird stuff.
What? A church or the House of Healing?
That.
Oh!
Sorry, the House of Healing sounds like a church to me.
Yes.
Oh, you guys did find it. Okay, let's talk about the House of Healing.
House of Healing, it's a medical thing.
It's a hospital. So
they are practicing for Shar. It is...
Yes.
No. When you go up and talk to the guy, it is a church. Like, these guys think they are practicing religion.
It's so funny you say church because when I went through this area, Billy, all I thought of was Bloodborne. It was super Bloodborne-y, the Church of Healing.
Yep.
But there's like, I think there's like a, in Bloodborne, there's like a clinic that you can go to, the Isofska's clinic. Yep. There's like a bit of a creepy vibe to it too. But yeah, it felt very like
gothic. By the way, I love it. Also the characters here that you find, what are these guys called? The nurses?
The sisters.
Oh, the sisters, yeah. Man, super creepy.
So very Silent Hill, but also Bloodborne.
Silent
Hill.
Their
eyes are covered with like bandages, and you see just the face, and like they're twitchy.
Yeah. And the way they whisper is so ASMR.
Yep.
Yes.
With real patriarchy problem, they're just listening to this weird dude doing whatever he thinks.
The weird dude who is a Thorm. So we can meet in this. There's like, and I found three Thorms other than Kethric Thorm.
Yes.
In this town.
Yes.
So Kethric Thorm is the immortal bad guy we're trying to kill. But that guy, the guy you're talking about now, his name is Malice Thorm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got the names.
Yeah.
I'm like Thorm 1, Thorm 2.
That's fine.
I think he's one of Kethric's sons.
Okay, so it's like it's a family affair.
That's a family affair. Of great towns. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense.
I'm curious how this interaction went for you guys. Like, Billy, what was your resolution out of this? Because they're like torturing a guy.
I think,
right?
It felt like there's only one path.
No.
Because I was like, even in it, like doing all kinds of different things. And
I was going to say,
kind of brought me to like, we're going to fight. Even with, I literally had a deception skill check that needed like a critical and I hit it.
Whoa.
And it essentially fails. Like it succeeds and then they just cheat you and he's like, well, if you think that they should fight the master, you're the master now. And I was like, well, that's kind of lame, but okay, whatever.
Oh,
and so it was
so
like,
weird.
No matter what I did, it just became more.
It's opposite.
Yeah.
I was crushing my fingers.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I was fine with it because it felt like this is gonna fight no matter what, and that's how I got there. Was just like saying things and like I was succeeding at all the roles, but it just wound me into like we're gonna fight. What was cool about it was Shadowheart like confronting it and being like, this isn't the worship I've seen, or I've never seen, or whatever. And like,
yeah,
and then him wanting to attack her anyway. And then us trying to talk our way out of it, but failing. but yeah, it was just kind of cool to be like what I was alluding to earlier, right? Shadowheart's religion is clearly like on the wrong side of history
here. Yeah,
and when you start to go deeper and talk to her about what it means and what it stands for,
yeah,
and it's like, oh, you guys are crazy.
It kind of seems like what Lazelle had to go through at the creche to like to learn that Vlakith is not true,
except Shadowheart like, oh, has God. Not had her epiphany yet,
right?
She's still just cruising along, yeah, like, whatever. Don't question the goddess. Don't question her.
Drinking the dark Kool-Aid.
Yep, yep.
So that's funny, Billy. I got them all. I talked all of them into killing themselves.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
How?
Yeah.
What? How? What'd you choose?
Yeah,
but I got none of the Shadowheart lore, so I don't know.
I wonder if it's because I had her with me. It changed.
Well, Shadowheart's with me.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, no, she's been in my party this whole time. So I remember, what was it?
I was Shadowheart, though. So I don't know if that did anything.
Because
I'm playing a druid. So here's one annoying thing about playing a druid. You have to waste actions to go out of animal shape to have conversations as your character. So you will constantly just get pulled in as someone else in a conversation, and you'll forget that you didn't like shape out of a form. And then you have conversations as people you don't mean to constantly that are like game. So that is kind of
are
an
you
annoying
just like permanent history. Cat?
No, because again, like it would be really fun to shift into that, but it has a cost. So you just don't waste your action on it.
Gotcha.
So you're like, eh. So anyway, I'm now an owl bear, which is awesome.
Oh,
the owl
sick.
Bear is super cool.
Oh.
He can like fly across the battlefield and ram into somebody and then still be hulky bear form that's a tank. So he's super cool. But I'm still like just walking around as him, and you'll switch to someone else to talk and stuff like that, not think about it. Because you don't want to waste like a beginning of a random fight you didn't plan to switch into form. Better if you're already there. Whatever, so then
that
it kind
totally
of fucks
makes
your
sense.
Dialogue up sometimes, and you have to like kind of think about it in the back of your head. I kind of wish that they just gamified that a little more, and like if a random dialogue scene happened, your dude just shifted into human, and then at the end of it shifted out. I think that would be like probably a little more fun. But so anyway, I was Shadowheart, and maybe she can't succeed at it. I don't know.
Maybe she can't. That would be the difference then, because when he asks, like, how will the sisters practice their art, I suggested, like, on each other. And that apparently was enough convincing to get the sisters to fight to the death. And then when he was, like, he was something about, like, well, you know, let's enlighten you. And I was like, well, why, you know, only the enlightened can enlighten others. Or something like that. And he was like, you're right. And he just stabs himself in the eye with one of his giant pointy fingers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that, and then I could release the dude who ran naked and blind.
Yeah.
I felt the bad shadow for that curse.
I was like, can I heal him? Oh, he's gone.
Oh, I just watched them silently kill him and then we started talking.
Oh.
I wonder if I'm just wrong though, because I said like attack the teacher, and then he spun that on me.
That's really weird.
I succeeded.
Yeah.
Because I think I have done this as Shadowheart and as my main in various saves and or various playthroughs, and I am able to at least get the sisters to kill the guy. And then the sisters don't need to attack you if the main guy is dead, they just remain docile.
Okay.
No.
I must have fumbled the bag there. I didn't really get far with the conversation enough for him to kill the sisters or deceive the guy.
You mean you didn't just go in like guns blazing and
no, I wanted to talk. This time I actually talked to him. There was one part where Shadowheart did say something where I got far enough into the dialogue. He was saying something creepier, crazy.
Yeah.
And Shadowheart's like, you're damn right. She was just like agreeing with the guy. Yeah. Like, yes. Yes, preach. And I was like, I was like, what the fuck, Shadowheart? Like, this is all fucked up. This whole situation's like not right. And you're saying like, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. And then we started fighting and that was the end of that. It was a cool cutscene though when he transforms and I'm like, ah, he doesn't look that bad. And he starts like whipping out more knives and shit. And I'm like, ah, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool fight.
Did
too,
you get all of his like... items?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think so. I looted.
You looted his loot?
I don't remember what. Was there anything?
You need his loot.
Nope.
For what?
Okay.
LUTE.
Right.
Oh, there's I definitely didn't take that. Why would I take I don't know if I took instrument?
That. Well,
did I take that?
Billy, it doesn't matter for us anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because Last Lighted is all dead. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it ties back into one of the things that he has is like a loot that ties back into a quest you can continue at Last Light In.
Gotcha.
But we can't do it anymore, Billy, because I checked on it because I was like, just in case.
Maybe he's still there.
But nah, they... No, all those people are turned to stone.
Oh. Now.
And then that one dude who's like is like unconscious on the bed. It ties into the Halsin stuff.
Yeah, so Halsin, so okay, when you before all that shit goes down at Last Light, there's a dude who's unconscious in a bed on the first floor. And he's like mumbling about Faniel.
What if I talk to this guy?
What? No.
Faniel
yes.
Hall?
Faniel okay. With a T-H. And if you tell Halsin about this, he's like, oh my God, this is the key to unlocking the shadow curse because the spirit of the forest is named Faniel. So I'm going to go talk to him. And then like, I don't know, you find a note on this man that sends you to the House of Healing. And then you can get this loot from the guy. And if you bring the loot back to the unconscious guy, he'll wake up. And and it's the whole thing.
Does it work? Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to pick up from there, Kaylee?
Oh, boy. It's been a while. This is in my first playthrough. Tell me if I get it wrong. But so then I think what happens is that, like, it gives Halsin enough information to be able to try to like do some sort of spirit walk thing into like the Shadowverse. Yeah,
I think it's called the Shadowfell, which is like, come on, we're in the Shadowlands. Like I'm with Shadowheart. Like, it's too many things.
You know, there should be a horse called Shadowfax. It'd be great. It's copyright infringement. You give Halsin enough information so that he can go into the Shadowfell and try to find Faniel. And you have to do this crazy, this is the other hardest fight I've experienced in this game, is you have to do this crazy defending of the portal thing. So while Halsin's doing that, you and your party have to basically fend off the Shadow Curse from trying to stop him. And they just send wave after wave of motherfuckers after you.
Yeah.
And it is nearly impossible, but you just have to hold out. There's like a number of turns.
Yeah, it's like five. Out. It's five turns. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot.
It's a lot because they just send like, they start off with like 15 dudes and they just keep sending like five more at a time at you. And you're just like,
but it is slightly bottlenecked. You're like up on a rock on the edge of the lake. So they are all kind of in front of you and slightly below you. So it's not like you're completely surrounded, but it is many waves.
You're outside the bubble. Yeah. And it's just like, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. But if you survive it, then like Halsin comes back and he's like, I know where we can find Faniel.
He comes back with Faniel.
half of
right him. Yeah, he's like, it's like an unconscious yeah boy, and he's got little like twig horns. It's not quite like
a half
Daniel. Yeah, it's not like a
half Daniel. It's just like his body, his spirit tiefling is still captured by the curse. He's like a yeah, he's like a little like a satyr, like a almost yeah like a little
satyr
yeah kind of critter without yeah the hooves. Mm. But yeah, but then like his soul is still like captured by the shadow curse, and so then you have to go and the next part of the quest is to go and find his like mm-hmm soul essentially and convince it to come back yeah to his body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. It also doesn't fix the shadow curse.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So we do all
Yeah. So I went and found the boy, found the soul boy, convinced him to go back to Thaniel. So now Thaniel is whole, and you go back to your camp where Halston and Thaniel are hanging out, and Thaniel's like, I can't do anything while General Ketherick Thorm is alive. And I'm like, God damn it, I thought that I could lift the shadow curse and then it'd be way easier to kill General Thorm.
I was going to say.
If you want to bang Halston, though, it does get you a step yeah closer to that. So
okay, yeah, so this is a furthering of yeah the
furthering
druid,
of having sex with
the only real lead in this game. Yeah,
going to the wild side.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Alan, go. What you got?
No, I was gonna say I'm pretty sure I looted the loot, although I'm pretty sure I sent it right to camp because I was like, yeah, I don't have
it. Well, and
so.
Oh yeah, and so I might last go slide pick is it up still again, yeah, active for you, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we both were able to beat Marcus,
right?
But yeah, so I guess I could probably do that. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I want to, yeah, but it sounds like a lot. But
If you have extra time and you're like, I want to run around more, it's a fun sure storyline. Yeah. So.
And next cool time.
And then I think
are there any
does
other stray threads before you me? What's that, Kaylee?
Oh, never mind. I was going to say, oh, actually, I think that's also how you would get Halston to actually be in your party.
Yes.
Oh, you can do well. That? That's
yes
cool.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Can you so do that with is another Isabel reward for that.
I don't know.
No.
Oh, fuck that. I already got so a druid. It's me.
It's you. Other loose threads. There's two other Thorms shambling around that decaying town. Mm-hmm. One of which is real creepy yeah and gross. And the other of which is real creepy and gold.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, this one's the...
yeah. There's... I don't know if you guys encountered them as well.
I didn't.
Yeah. I was able to go to the gold and the other one.
The brewery.
Which I was... Yeah, the brewery, yeah. And I was successful in those deception checks.
Oh, nice.
That was mm-hmm a much easier... I did... fight both of them though the first time and die. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll deceive them this time. So I was just straight up fighting because they're very hard and they have a lot of hit mm-hmm points. And yeah, there's a lot of like they have a lot of minions too. Mm-hmm. So the deception is the way to go.
It's yeah, fun for sure.
And you get a lot of gold. You get a lot of gold from the
yeah the toll house, Billy. If you find the yeah toll house, yeah, do not run past it. There is so much money in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get up to the second yeah floor.
Yeah. What yeah do you find the yeah reason for them all being of the same family or whatever?
Lore, I guess.
I think they're just I think that's just part of like kind of the general lore is that his kids are also still
okay
around somehow and have been affected by this curse in different ways and are clearly insane.
They are classified as undead.
They are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they're not like still living. They're not also immortal, but they are. They can give you hints as far as like the next, as like at least the brewer can give you some good hints,
that's right,
as far as like how the secret to his invincibility.
Mm. Hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very much like the village with the family in Resident Evil, Billy. Like, there's just right they're all just like weird fucked up versions of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like yeah the lore that I found is just like, you know, the Shadowlands before they were shadowy was just a simple saloon worshiping town. And then Kethric Thorm came by and decided everyone should be worshiping Shar now and gave all his kids these jobs that run the town. Mm. And like people were scared of him.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to find out more about the Shadowlands as we take this quest from Kethric Thorn to...
Yes.
Do what? I can't remember. I actually kind of spaced out. He was like talking for a while. I was like, it's a fetch quest, but I can't remember what the point of it is. He wants us to just go to a tomb to get a thing or something like that, right?
So he sent his servant. So if you make it to Moonrise and are doing like the double agent bit. Yeah. So he's basically said like he sent Balthazar.
Yeah. To your dude this, that you picked as
well. The family mausoleum. Yeah. Which I didn't need to, because then as soon as you like talk about that, they give you the key to his room.
Yeah. And literally tell you he cool. has a lantern. Go take it.
He has a lantern. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Which I was like, I know he has lanterns. I have this lantern. It's mine now. Look at me. but yeah, then he'll be like, okay, so go and basically help Balthazar. He's been out of communication. They kind of lost contact with him. They don't know what's going on. And he's apparently on some very important mission for Kethric. And so, which seems to then tie into maybe some of the secrets behind Kethric's family and like where this invincibility comes from. So it's sort of like an investigation of his power slash also snooping on what is one of his lead people mm-hmm. is doing. Mm-hmm. Tells you to go to his mm-hmm. mausoleum.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's where we're going next. Alan, it'll take you like 5 seconds to catch up to us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You basically have a conversation standing in your way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't pick the locks.
I won't do that.
Just talk to him and get the key.
I'll just do a long conversation. Yep.
Cool. We're moving forward with Moonrise and continuing to explore Shadowlands if you haven't finished.
I think so. And keeping the main quest going with Kethric here.
Yeah.
Let's do the mausoleum.
Okay.
And trying to bang Shadowheart, which is the real reason we're doing of this. But yes.
That's all. Oh, what brain
slash Astarion. Uh-huh. Still trying to bang Astarion.
I mean, I want to bang Karlach. Like, they're all hot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, hot openings this round.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, banana pants, zombie general. Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, mama. Put that thing on easy mode. Go with standard dish. Story mode is my big fetish. Go with standard dish. My avatar's all coquettish. Who's coquettish? This ain't no speed run. Just take that starting power. You can turn me into a farmer, but though it don't need me a horse armor. I'm going standard a dish. Store mode is my big fetish. Standard a dish. My avatar's all. Edition art book. Mama, I'm never gonna look. Plastic jacket, fake sword, collector's racket, trophy hoard. You collected every single thing just to pop out all this digitally. Well, I'm still stuck in the starting tower. I've been lost for like a fucking hour. What? We'll go with standard a dish. Why? Store mode is my ocean's cookie dish.